Listener supported. WNYC Studios.
Brian Lehrer on WNYC. Good morning, everyone. It's not surprising that the Democrats and Republicans are fighting in Congress, but now the Republicans are fighting with Republicans. The bipartisan Senate bill extending the payroll tax holiday, it was really bipartisan, got 89 votes. It's now going to be rejected today by the House. Senators are already home for the holidays. They thought the House would just vote to approve this two-month stopgap. But now the House Republican leadership wants the Senate to come back from their 50 states and fix the bill, as the House sees it, make it a one-year measure, which means a lot more debate. So to explain what the latest breakdown in Congress is all about is Politico congressional reporter Manu Raju. Hey, Manu, welcome back to WNYC.
Hey, thanks for having me, Brian.
At some point, it did seem that House passage of the Senate bill was in the bag, didn't it?
Absolutely, and that's how everyone thought would happen. All last week, these negotiations were meant to produce a bill that could not only pass the Senate, but also the House. There was a deal that was cut between the Senate Majority Leader Harry Reid and the Senate Minority Leader Mitch McConnell on Friday night. And McConnell has long, all year long, has worked very closely with House Speaker John Boehner, and McConnell signed off on this bill, believing that the House Republicans would go along, or at least that Boehner was on board with this plan. McConnell and Reid each briefed their respective caucuses on Friday night. No one quite liked the measure. It was a two-month stopgap, as you said. It also had things in there that Democrats didn't like, including a Keystone Pipeline provision requiring that the president make a decision on that controversial project. It went through, but it went through with big bipartisan majority. 89 senators voted for it on Saturday, and everyone sort of thought this was it. And people were saying bye for the holidays, and that was it. And Saturday afternoon came, and Speaker Boehner had a conference call with his conference, and the Republican members of the House were in full revolt. They didn't like the two-month measure. They didn't like having to deal with this again. Many of the folks don't like the payroll tax cut to begin with. And they didn't want to have to fight this again in February. So instead, now they're pushing for a full-year measure. Boehner announced his opposition to it on Sunday. He came out stronger against it yesterday. And today they're going to move to go on with negotiations with the Senate, at least have a full-blown House-Senate conference committee to negotiate a compromise. What's not clear is what's going to actually happen, because the Senate is absolutely refusing to negotiate further. They're saying they want this two-month stop.
And here is a little bit of John Boehner stating his objections and his plan.
Our members do not want to just punt and do a two-month short-term fix where we have to come back and do this again.
And that's fair as far as it goes, Manu. You know, a two-month fix is just kicking the can down the road, since the Democrats and Republicans can't agree on tax rates and things like that. But is the fact that it's just a two-month fix the only reason that the House Republicans are rejecting the bill, or is there something in it that they really object to?
Well, I think a lot of them, you know, have been pretty dubious about this payroll tax cut to begin with. I mean, you saw that, you know, as soon as the president proposed his plan, there was not much support in either the House or the Senate for this proposal. And there was, you know, and when the House Republicans came out with a payroll tax cut, they really loaded it up with things that were opposed by many Democrats, things such as Medicare means testing, reducing the number of weeks that people can get on jobless benefits from 99 to 59, urging states to do drug testing of jobless benefit recipients, things like that that Democrats were not going to go along with. But that was enough to get a number of Republicans on board for that plan. And so when this was negotiated between Reid and McConnell, a lot of those controversial measures that the House Republicans did want and did want as a condition for supporting this tax cut did not make it into the bill. And I think that led to a lot of the concerns we've been hearing from the House Republican Conference in the last couple of days.
The payroll tax cut, which a lot of our listeners know, is the special tax out of people's paychecks that's designated for Social Security. And the payroll tax cut that most people want to extend is 2 percentage points off. So that's about $2,000 of a tax break on $100,000 of income. And then that's about the limit, because there is no payroll tax after about $108,000 of income. So it's about a 2% tax cut for most working Americans. Why would the Republicans, who are always pro-tax cut, be throwing up obstacles to this?
Well, I think they think that it hasn't really worked. This was enacted last year as part of the compromise that was reached that actually led to the extension of all the Bush-era tax cuts for income levels. At the time, that was something that that Democrats said that this is something that could help the economy. The thing that worries a lot
of— Can I jump in on that?
Because
it didn't work. How? Because certainly, you know, the Democrats would say that the theory is the tax cuts that you give to lower and middle income people are the ones that really stimulate the economy, because they don't have extra money to just put the tax cut in the bank. They're going to go out and spend it on bills or spend it on Christmas presents. And so it gets right back into the economy. Do the Republicans disagree with that?
They do. And I think that they think that, but I do think that they're worried about seeing a tax increase, not, you know, seeing, worried about the fallout from that. I mean, given that this is a party that has, you know, has staked its reputation on cutting taxes and for being branded for labeling for a tax increase, even if they doubt its economic impact, I think that is a big worry for their party. And they think that sort of led to this this back and forth within their party about how to proceed on this issue. They're sort of
right.
been tied up in knots over the last
yes.
month.
But let me go back to my other line of questioning, because do the Republicans by and large believe, as a matter of economics, that the only tax breaks that stimulate the economy are tax breaks on the wealthy because they're job creators and so the money trickles down in that way? And if you give tax cuts to working people and they go out and spend the money, that doesn't stimulate the economy?
I think that they when you ask them a question like that, they'd say that we believe in we need to have full-blown tax reform, lower all rates, get rid of all interest deductions, something that would lead to more revenue into the economy, not by asking folks to pay more or pay, but by lowering rates for everybody. That's generally the line of the talking point that you will hear from folks on Capitol Hill. I think that one of the things that, you know, that folks do talk about, I think on both sides on this, is also the possible impacts on Social Security. I mean, this is, of course, the payroll tax paid into Social Security. The administration says that it will not hurt Social Security because the way it's structured is that this money would be replaced by funds that are coming from the general fund. But the long-term impacts, if this tax break were continuing to be extended by Congress after Congress, has some folks worried about the entitlement program.
Also, isn't there a plan to replace the money into the Social Security fund by increasing the taxes on new mortgages?
Yes, I mean, basically, that's how this is paid for. Fees, Fannie and Freddie fees, it would be increased over the next 10 years. And so that would essentially pay for this $33 billion proposal. At the end of those 10 years, they say CBO estimates, the Congressional Budget Office estimates that it would lower the deficit over that time. Of course, there's a short-term tax break for long-term, it'll take to pay it all off.
So does anybody object to that under the theory that if you tax mortgages even more, that's, you know, largely hidden in terms of the price of a home, but that if you tax mortgages even more, that it's going to depress the housing market even more than it already is? Or isn't anybody saying that?
No, no one's really saying that at all. That's really been left out of the debate. Really, it's get boiling down to a procedural argument, 2 months versus a year. I mean, that's sort of how it's why it's coming down to that. And,
right.
And the political concern for the Republicans is that if this is a two-month plan, they're worried that the next 2 months, the administration is going to use this to attack the Republicans for not wanting to extend this for a full year.
Yes.
And there will be an issue in the State of the Union address, and it will dominate the first part of the next session. Of Congress.
Right. So the Republicans in the House and the Republicans in the Senate don't agree, but they really want to resolve this. So Boehner is insisting on a formal conference, House-Senate conference, to come up with a new bill. They'd have to send it back to the Senate for a vote. Harry Reid, the Senate Majority Leader, says he's not bringing members back. They're already gone for Christmas. So is this just a game of chicken? Is there any chance that neither leader backs down and the payroll tax cut really does expire on January 1st, plus some people with long-term unemployment benefits lose them?
You know, for a long time, it always everyone always thought that there was, of course, they were going to resolve this. They always do this, and it leads to resolution. But I think for the first time the last couple of days, there's a real sense that this may not get resolved. There's a real concern that it won't. We have seen jobless benefits expire in the last couple of years because of sort of this partisan brinksmanship. But I think that this time around, if that were to happen, like it last time, they could do some of the things retroactively. Of course, that leads to a bunch of headaches, not just for people who are relying on jobless benefits, but also for folks, Medicare physicians, physicians who service Medicare patients. They need to have their reimbursement rates fixed. Otherwise, they could see a loss of about 27% of their income. Congress will, even if they can't get something resolved before the end of the year, most likely they'll have to come back and do something retroactively. But it's, you know, right now, it's not clear who's going to blink first and whether or not they could come to some sort of accommodation given the way this has played out.
Manu Raju, congressional reporter for Politico. I know you got to go in a couple of minutes. Two things real quick. One, what's the role of the Keystone Pipeline in this? I know congressional Republicans want to pressure the president to have to make a decision on this controversial Canada to the Gulf of Mexico pipeline that environmentalists hate and energy interests, you know, say could really help our energy supply and create a lot of jobs. Unions are also for it. Would either version force the president into making a Keystone Pipeline decision in the next few months?
Yeah, I mean, the version that passed the Senate calls for within 60 days for the president to make a decision one way or another on this Keystone Pipeline. It says he can forego constructive permitting and construction of the pipeline if he determines it's within the national interest to forego that construction. Now, that is, of course, the administration has said that there's no way they can make a decision within 2 months given the amount of study that needs to be done. So, you know, that seems to have alleviated some concerns from folks on who have criticized this pipeline project as environmentally insensitive. But there is also a big political risk for the president, given what you just mentioned. Unions, a lot of union groups want this. This is something that has united Republicans. And in an election about the economy, he's going to have to make a decision on something that could create jobs.
And last thing, what about Boehner as Speaker of the House, as leader of the Republicans in the House? Isn't this like the third time in a year that he's made some kind of a deal with the Democrats, including what was supposed to be the big grand bargain on long-term debt reduction with the president, and then the conservatives in his caucus turned on him and said, uh-uh, no you don't?
Back several times now. It's really interesting dynamic to see. I mean, you don't really see that with any other leader of any of the three other caucuses, Nancy Pelosi, Harry Reid, or Mitch McConnell. Generally, when they say they can deliver votes, they can. Boehner faces a much more complicated calculus, and when he has tried to become a deal maker, his caucus has reined him in, most notably on that grand bargain when he was at least considering increasing tax revenues with the president. And that's, you know, sort of the reason why we're in today, because his conference just would not go along with something, even though he seemed open to it.
Manu Raju, congressional reporter for Politico. Thanks a lot.
Thank you.
Brian Lehrer on WNYC. Coming up next, we'll talk about one of the most exciting things going on right now for the long-term New York economy. And Cornell wins after a high-profile competition. Big Red gets the contract from Mayor Bloomberg to build this major new science and engineering campus in the city. We'll talk to a dean from Cornell who's heavily involved. Stay with us.